Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present British Virgin Islands Episode 1, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 1, Origins and First Inhabitants, the Arawak and Carib Legacy. The birth of the islands, geological foundations, and early natural landscape. Before human feet ever touched the shores of what we now call the British Virgin Islands, these lands were shaped by time, fire, and water. Millions of years ago, deep beneath the ocean's surface, violent volcanic activity gave rise to a chain of islands, their peaks piercing through the turquoise waters of the Caribbean. These new lands, rich in minerals and fertile soils, would one day sustain human life, but for centuries they remained untouched, home only to the rhythm of the waves and the cries of the seabirds that nested in their cliffs. Over millennia, the islands developed an ecosystem teeming with lush greenery. Towering silk cotton trees with thick roots snaking through the rocky terrain, vast mangrove forests hugging the shores, and coconut palms bending in the relentless winds. The waters surrounding the islands, warm and abundant, were filled with fish, sea turtles, and coral reefs, forming a delicate but thriving marine world. These islands were a paradise awaiting its first inhabitants. The arrival of the Arawak, a civilization born from the sea. It is believed that around 200 BCE, the first humans arrived in the Virgin Islands, the Arawak people. Originating from the Orinoco River Basin in present-day Venezuela, the Arawak were expert seafarers who journeyed northward, using dugout canoes to navigate the vast Caribbean Sea. Their migration was not by accident. They followed the stars, the ocean currents, and the movements of fish, seeking fertile land and calm waters to settle. They called themselves Tainos, meaning the good people, a testament to the peaceful and communal nature of their society. For generations, the Arawak established settlements across the islands, drawn to the freshwater streams, rich fishing grounds, and fertile valleys. They built ukiyeks, small villages comprised of circular thatched huts called bohayos, where extended families lived together. These villages were organized under the leadership of a cacique, or chief, who held both political and spiritual authority. Society was deeply structured, with artisans, fishermen, farmers, and healers playing distinct roles within the community. Culture, traditions, and daily life. Life in an Arawak village was one of harmony with nature. Their economy was based on subsistence farming, fishing, and hunting. The fertile soil allowed them to cultivate staple crops such as cassava, maize, sweet potatoes, and yams, while the surrounding waters provided a constant supply of fish, conch, and lobster. They domesticated small animals, but their primary source of protein came from the sea. The Arawak were skilled potters, creating intricately designed ceramics used for cooking, storing food, and religious ceremonies. Their pottery, often decorated with geometric patterns and depictions of spirits, has been found in archaeological sites across the Caribbean, offering a glimpse into their artistic legacy. Additionally, they wove hammocks from cotton, crafted jewelry from shells and bones, and created kanis, wooden sculptures representing their gods. Spirituality was central to Arawak life. They believed in zimis, spirits that governed nature, fertility, and the afterlife. The caciques and shamans communicated with these spirits through rituals, using hallucinogenic powders and rhythmic drumming to enter trances. The Arawak believed their ancestors guided them, and through careful reverence of nature, they could maintain balance in the world. The Carib arrival, a clash of cultures. By 1200 CE, another wave of settlers arrived in the Virgin Islands, the Carib people. Unlike the peaceful Arawak, the Caribs were warriors, known for their fierce combat skills and territorial expansion. Originally from the northern coast of South America, they were expert navigators who used large dugout canoes capable of carrying dozens of warriors across the sea. The Caribs saw the Arawak as weak and often raided their settlements, capturing land, women, and resources. While the Arawak were communal and gentle in nature, the Caribs practiced a more aggressive, hierarchical society where strength dictated power. They were known for their battle tactics, archery skills, and use of poisoned arrows, which made them formidable adversaries. Over the next two centuries, the balance of power in the Virgin Islands shifted. Many Arawak communities were wiped out or absorbed into the Carib way of life, leading to a blending of traditions. Some Arawak women and children were taken as captives, their language and customs merging with the Carib culture, forming what some historians call the Garifuna ancestry. A lost civilization, the Arawak and Carib fate. By the time Christopher Columbus arrived in 1493, the Arawak presence in the Virgin Islands had greatly diminished. The Caribs, though dominant, had not built permanent settlements, preferring to move between islands as needed. When the Spanish arrived, the Caribs resisted fiercely, fighting off invaders for decades before succumbing to disease, enslavement, and European weaponry. Though the Arawak and Carib civilizations eventually disappeared from the British Virgin Islands, their influence remains. Many words in the Caribbean, hurricane, hurricane, barbecue, barbacoa, canoe, canoa, originated from their languages. Their farming methods, knowledge of medicinal plants, and reverence for nature have survived in Caribbean traditions passed down through generations. Legacy and reflection. The story of the Arawak and Carib peoples is one of resilience, adaptation, and ultimately tragedy. They were the first to call the Virgin Islands home, carving out a life in harmony with the land and sea. Their history serves as a reminder of the deep roots that existed long before European colonization, a foundation upon which the modern Caribbean identity is built. This chapter closes not with an ending, but with an enduring presence. The spirits of the Arawak and Carib live on in the DNA, culture, and history of the Virgin Islands, a legacy that can still be felt in the whispers of the wind, the rhythm of the drums, and the waves that continue to shape the shores of these ancient lands. Chapter 2. The European Invasion, Columbus, and the Naming of the Virgin Islands. The dawn of a new era, first European sightings. The 15th century was an age of exploration, conquest, and the expansion of European empires. As European nations sought new trade routes and territories, they cast their eyes on the riches of the Americas. The British Virgin Islands, a seemingly untouched archipelago, would soon become embroiled in the ambitions of powerful foreign nations. In 1493, during his second voyage to the New World, Christopher Columbus sailed into the Caribbean on a journey that would alter the fate of the region forever. Upon reaching the cluster of islands north of present-day Puerto Rico, he was struck by their sheer beauty. Jagged peaks rising from the turquoise waters, rolling hills covered in lush greenery, and secluded bays perfect for anchoring. But Columbus saw these lands not as an untouched paradise, but as a new frontier for conquest and colonization. Columbus named the islands Las Islas Virgenes, or the Virgin Islands, in honor of Saint Ursula and her legendary 11,000 virgin followers, a reference drawn from medieval Christian mythology. To the European mind, these lands were now officially charted and claimed under the Spanish crown. Yet, for the indigenous Caribs who still inhabited parts of the region, Columbus' arrival was the first sign of an impending storm that would bring devastation, enslavement, and a reshaping of their world. The impact of Spanish exploration and claims. Although Columbus claimed the Virgin Islands for Spain, the Spanish largely neglected the islands in the initial years, focusing instead on the larger and more resource-rich territories like Hispaniola, now Haiti and the Dominican Republic, Cuba and Puerto Rico. However, the Virgin Islands still played a role in Spain's grand imperial strategy. Spanish explorers and traders soon followed Columbus' path, conducting brief excursions to the islands. They found no gold, no large indigenous population, and no significant resources that could rival the mainland riches of South America. Instead, the Virgin Islands became a secondary target, mainly used as a stopping point for replenishing supplies and launching further expeditions into the Americas. Despite Spain's relative disinterest in permanent settlements, the indigenous Caribs resisted Spanish intrusions fiercely. They fought back with arrows dipped in poison, ambushed landing parties, and retreated into the rugged interiors of the islands where the Spanish had little interest in pursuing them. These early encounters set the stage for what would become centuries of conflict between European settlers and the indigenous people of the Caribbean. The slave trade begins, the darkest legacy of Columbus' voyages. One of the most harrowing consequences of Columbus' voyages was the rapid expansion of the transatlantic slave trade. The Virgin Islands, though not initially a hub for the slave trade, were affected by the larger Spanish conquest of the Caribbean. Indigenous Caribs who were captured during Spanish raids were often taken to larger settlements like Puerto Rico or Hispaniola, where they were enslaved and forced to work in brutal conditions on plantations and in gold mines. With the indigenous population declining rapidly due to European diseases, warfare, and enslavement, Spanish colonialists began importing African slaves to meet labor demands. Although the British Virgin Islands were not yet formally colonized, this early period laid the foundation for the horrific systems of forced labor that would later define the Caribbean economy. Rival European powers enter the scene. Spain was not the only European power with ambitions in the Caribbean. As the Spanish claimed vast swathes of the New World, other nations, England, France, the Netherlands, and Denmark, began eyeing the region with increasing interest. By the late 16th and early 17th centuries, English and Dutch privateers were making their presence felt in the Caribbean. These privateers, often backed by their respective crowns, targeted Spanish treasure ships laden with gold and silver bound for Europe. The Virgin Islands, with their hidden coves and strategic location, became a natural haven for these maritime raiders. Piracy, once an opportunistic venture, soon became an organized enterprise. The Spanish Main, referring to the coastal regions of South America, became a battleground where English, Dutch, and French privateers waged a guerrilla war against the Spanish Empire. The Virgin Islands were perfectly situated for raids, serving as a launching pad for assaults on Spanish galleons and coastal settlements. The birth of colonization, the first European settlements. As European competition intensified, the Virgin Islands became a strategic prize. Although Spain had claimed them, their lack of investment left the islands vulnerable to other European nations. By the early 17th century, the Dutch and English had begun to establish small outposts, using the islands as bases for privateering and trade. The Dutch, known for their maritime prowess and enterprising spirit, made the first major push to establish a foothold in the Virgin Islands. In the early 1620s, they set up a settlement on Tortola, using it as a base to trade goods, shelter privateers, and challenge Spanish dominance. The English soon followed, with scattered groups of adventurers and settlers eyeing the region as a potential colony. By the mid-17th century, Spain's power in the Caribbean was beginning to wane. England, France, and the Netherlands were expanding their colonies aggressively, and the Virgin Islands were seen as valuable pieces in the geopolitical chess game unfolding in the Caribbean. The legacy of the European invasion. The arrival of Columbus and the subsequent European incursions into the Virgin Islands marked the beginning of a new and turbulent chapter in the region's history. What was once a land inhabited by Arawak and Carib peoples, untouched and self-sufficient, was now a battleground for foreign empires seeking wealth and power. The legacy of this period is complex. On one hand, it introduced European trade, technology, and governance to the islands. On the other, it brought war, slavery, and the destruction of indigenous cultures. The Virgin Islands would continue to change hands between European powers, each leaving its mark on the political, economic, and social fabric of the region. As the dust settled on the initial waves of conquest, a new phase was about to begin, one that would see the Virgin Islands transformed from a haven for privateers into a full-fledged European colony. The battle for control had only just begun. In the next chapter, we will explore the emergence of British rule and the rise of the plantation economy, a period that would define the Caribbean for centuries to come. Chapter 3: Piracy, Privateers, and the Lawless Age of the Caribbean. The Rise of the Privateers. The Caribbean as a Battleground. By the late 16th and early 17th centuries, the Caribbean was no longer simply an untamed wilderness of tropical isles and turquoise waters. It had become a battleground. European powers, particularly Spain, England, the Netherlands, and France, all vied for control of the lucrative trade routes connecting the New World to the Old. Spain, having established early dominance in the Caribbean, sought to maintain its grasp on the region by enforcing strict maritime policies. The Spanish crown laid claim to the entire Caribbean, demanding that all foreign vessels be repelled or destroyed. However, with its vast empire stretching from Mexico to Peru, Spain found it increasingly difficult to defend every outpost, trade ship, and colony. This vulnerability provided an opportunity for a new kind of predator, the privateers and pirates who would make the Virgin Islands and surrounding waters their hunting grounds. The British Virgin Islands, a pirate's refuge. The geography of the British Virgin Islands made them a perfect hideout for marauding privateers and pirates. Their numerous hidden coves, deep natural harbors, and proximity to major Spanish shipping lanes meant that they could serve as both a staging ground and a retreat. Privateers, sanctioned by rival European crowns, used the Virgin Islands as a launching point for their attacks on Spanish treasure ships laden with silver and gold from the Americas. One of the first recorded privateering operations in the region was led by Sir Francis Drake, an English mariner and privateer who became infamous for his raids on Spanish ships and settlements. In the late 1500s, Drake and his fleet frequently used the islands as a base for attacking Spanish convoys. His success not only weakened Spanish dominance, but also paved the way for other English and Dutch privateers to follow suit. The difference between privateers and pirates. It is important to distinguish between privateers and pirates, as their roles, while similar, had key differences. Privateers were essentially government-sanctioned pirates. They carried official letters of marque, which authorized them to attack enemy ships during times of war. The loot was often shared with their sponsoring government. Pirates, on the other hand, operated without government backing. They attacked ships indiscriminately, answering only to their own codes and leaders. They often hid in remote areas, including the British Virgin Islands, where they could avoid authorities. Famous pirates and privateers of the Virgin Islands. Several legendary figures etched their names into the history of the British Virgin Islands during this lawless period. Blackbeard, Edward Teach. One of the most infamous pirates to use the Virgin Islands as a refuge was Edward Teach, better known as Blackbeard. Renowned for his fearsome appearance, with smoldering slow-burning fuses woven into his beard, Blackbeard terrorized merchant vessels across the Caribbean. While there is much folklore surrounding his exploits, many believe that he anchored near Norman Island, using it as a staging ground for raids. Captain William Kidd. Another legendary figure associated with the region was Captain William Kidd, a Scottish privateer turned pirate who was initially commissioned to hunt pirates but later turned to piracy himself. Though his direct ties to the Virgin Islands are debated, many stories suggest that Kidd used the area to stash plundered treasures. The notorious pirate hideouts. Several locations in the Virgin Islands are rumored to have served as pirate bases. Norman Island. Often cited as an inspiration for Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, Norman Island was rumored to be a pirate treasure hideout. Dead Chest Island. Linked to Blackbeard's infamous punishment of marooning his men with only a cutlass and a bottle of rum, giving rise to the song 15 Men on the Dead Man's Chest. Soper's Hole, Tortola, a deep water harbor that offered pirates a perfect hiding spot. The decline of piracy and the crackdown by European powers. By the early 1700s, the golden age of piracy in the Caribbean was coming to an end. European powers, particularly England and Spain, realized that piracy was no longer serving their interests. Once useful as a tool for weakening Spanish influence, piracy had become a destabilizing force, threatening legitimate trade and colonial administration. In 1718, King George I issued a general pardon for pirates who agreed to surrender. Many took advantage of the offer, while others, like Blackbeard, continued their exploits and were hunted down. Royal naval forces increased their patrols, and fortifications were built to protect key settlements from pirate raids. The British Navy's growing presence in the region made it increasingly difficult for pirates to operate freely. Legacy of the pirate era in the Virgin Islands. Although piracy declined by the mid-18th century, its impact on the British Virgin Islands was lasting. Cultural influence. The legends of pirates remain embedded in local folklore, with stories passed down through generations. Place names and myths. Many islands and locations in the British Virgin Islands still bear names associated with pirates, keeping their stories alive. Tourism and modern interest. Today, the legacy of piracy has transformed into a major tourist attraction, with visitors eager to explore the sites once inhabited by these legendary figures. The Virgin Islands' era of piracy may have ended, but its stories continue to captivate those who visit its shores, seeking echoes of an age when the Caribbean was the domain of rogues and adventurers. As European powers secured control, the next transformation was inevitable. The rise of colonization and the plantation economy, a period that would reshape the islands for centuries to come. Chapter 4. British Colonization and the Dawn of Plantation Slavery. The struggle for control, British expansion into the Virgin Islands. By the early 17th century, the British Empire had set its sights on expanding its colonial footprint in the Caribbean. The Virgin Islands, strategically located near vital trade routes and rich in arable land, were an attractive target. England, competing with Spain, France, and the Netherlands, sought to establish permanent settlements in the region, seizing territories from rival European powers. The first British settlers arrived in the 1620s and 1630s, initially as privateers, traders, and adventurers seeking fortunes in the West Indies. Tortola became a focal point of British interest, with formal colonization efforts taking root by the mid-17th century. The Dutch had previously established a presence there, but by 1672, the British took full control, cementing their dominance over the islands. Over the next century, they extended their reach to other parts of the archipelago, including Onondaga, Virgin Gorda, and Joost Van Dyke. The establishment of the plantation economy. With the British firmly in control, they introduced the plantation system, a model that had already proven lucrative in Jamaica, Barbados, and other Caribbean territories. The fertile soil and tropical climate of the Virgin Islands were well suited for the cultivation of cash crops, particularly sugarcane, cotton, and tobacco. Plantation agriculture required a large labor force, and the British colonists initially relied on indentured servants from England, Ireland, and Scotland. However, as the demand for labor outpaced the availability of indentured workers, the transatlantic slave trade became the primary means of workforce expansion. The transatlantic slave trade and the enslavement of Africans. The rise of the plantation economy in the British Virgin Islands was intrinsically tied to the forced migration of Africans through the transatlantic slave trade. Ships carrying enslaved Africans arrived from West Africa, particularly from the regions of present-day Ghana, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone. These individuals were sold at slave markets in the Caribbean and forcibly transported to plantations in the Virgin Islands. The conditions aboard the slave ships were appalling. Overcrowding, disease, malnutrition, and brutal treatment led to high mortality rates during the Middle Passage. Those who survived the harrowing journey found themselves in an equally oppressive and inhumane environment upon arrival. Enslaved Africans were put to work under grueling conditions on sugarcane plantations, toiling from dawn to dusk in the sweltering heat. They were subjected to harsh punishments, strict surveillance, and severe living conditions. The British plantation owners enforced a rigid social hierarchy, with enslaved Africans at the bottom, deprived of rights and stripped of their cultural identities. Resistance, rebellion, and cultural survival. Despite their suffering, the enslaved population in the British Virgin Islands found ways to resist oppression and preserve their heritage. Some of the most notable forms of resistance included revolts and rebellions. There were multiple uprisings against British slaveholders, though most were brutally suppressed. In the early 1800s, resistance intensified as abolitionist movements gained momentum across the British Empire. Maroon communities. Some enslaved individuals escaped into the remote interiors of the islands, forming hidden communities known as Maroons, where they lived free from British rule and continued African traditions. Cultural preservation. Enslaved Africans maintained their spiritual practices, oral traditions, music, and communal bonds, blending elements of West African heritage with influences from European and indigenous Caribbean cultures. The path to abolition. The decline of slavery in the British Virgin Islands. By the early 19th century, the abolitionist movement in Britain was gaining strength, driven by activists such as William Wilberforce and Thomas Clarkson. The horrors of slavery were increasingly exposed, and public sentiment in England began shifting towards abolition. In 1807, the British Parliament passed the Abolition of the Slave Trade Act, which banned the transportation of enslaved Africans across the Atlantic. However, slavery itself remained legal in British colonies. Enslaved people in the Virgin Islands continued to endure forced labor and harsh treatment until the passage of the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833. Which officially ended slavery across the British Empire. The aftermath of emancipation, challenges and transformations. On August 1, 1834, enslaved people in the British Virgin Islands were granted their freedom, marking a significant turning point in the island's history. However, true liberation was far from immediate. Former slaves were forced into an apprenticeship system, which required them to continue working for their former masters for minimal pay. It wasn't until 1838 that full emancipation was granted. The abolition of slavery brought significant economic and social challenges. The decline of the plantation economy. With the loss of free labor, many plantations collapsed. Sugar production dwindled, leading to economic hardship for both freed individuals and former slave owners. Land ownership struggles. Many freed Africans sought to own land and build independent communities, but British colonial policies often made land acquisition difficult. Cultural evolution. The newly freed population began shaping a distinct Afro-Caribbean identity, blending African customs with British colonial influences, a cultural legacy that endures to this day. Legacy of the British colonial period. The British colonization of the Virgin Islands left a lasting impact that can still be seen today. Language and governance. English remains the official language, and many of the Virgin Islands' political structures trace their origins to British colonial rule. Social and economic divisions. The legacy of slavery and colonialism shaped class divisions that persisted well into the 20th century. Cultural heritage. The traditions, music, and religious practices of the Virgin Islands reflect a complex history of African, European, and indigenous influences. Conclusion. A turning point in Virgin Islands history. The British colonization and the introduction of plantation slavery fundamentally altered the course of Virgin Islands history. What was once a pirate haven and a remote archipelago transformed into an integral part of the British colonial empire, sustained by the wealth generated from sugarcane plantations and the forced labor of enslaved Africans. Yet, despite centuries of oppression, the resilience and spirit of the Virgin Islands people endured. The abolition of slavery was not just a legal decree, but a hard-fought victory for those who had suffered under colonial rule. It set the stage for a new era, one in which the people of the Virgin Islands would begin their slow but determined march toward self-governance, economic independence, and cultural revival. In the next chapter, we will explore the post-emancipation struggles and the fight for autonomy, detailing the transition from colonial dependency to the early stages of self-rule in the British Virgin Islands.